And we're going to look at something I've done in the past, but we haven't done it in a long time. And since the children are gone, we can talk about them. Isn't that great? Don't you like talking about people behind their back? Or in their front? I guess they're all back here, so they're behind your backs, but they're not behind my back. So I'm not talking to them behind their backs. And you're just listening, so it doesn't count. Okay, so we're going to get this passed out. Those are the Bible verses for this, but I can get started without it. What does God call our children? Okay, before we can even begin that, we have to welcome the new month, which is today, actually, Rosh Chodesh. We have a new month. You don't have to applaud for a new month. Yeah, you do. Okay, this is actually a leap month, and so it's a sequel month. May it be your will, Hashem, our God, and God of our forefathers, that you inaugurate this month upon us for goodness and for blessing. May you give us long life, a life of peace, a life of goodness, a life of blessing, a life of sustenance, a life of physical health, a life in which there is fear of heaven and fear of sin, a life in which there is no shame or humiliation, a life of wealth and honor, a life in which we will have love of Torah and fear of heaven, a life in which the requests of our heart will be fulfilled for the good. And everyone said,
Amen.
Boy, you did good. He who performed miracles for our forefathers and redeemed them from slavery to freedom, may he redeem us soon and gather in our dispersed from the four corners of the earth, all Israel becoming comrades. Now let us respond, Amen. The new month of Adar the second will be on today, Shabbat day of the week, and has come to us and to all Israel for goodness. May the Holy One, blessed is He, renew it upon us and upon all His people, the family of Israel, for life and for peace, for joy and for gladness, for salvation and for consolation. And everyone will respond by saying,
Amen.
And we're going to welcome the new month with a blow and a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're sorry that we welcome the new month? You bumped her in the head? You're starting the new month off by bumping someone in the head? What a guy. And to think we accepted him here. Yeah, we even married him here. All right. Praise God. You know, you can bump her on the head again and say you're sorry. But she probably will hit you. And then she'll say, I'm sorry. Okay, slicha, right? As Terry Sue would say, slicha. The most common word for children in our society today is a terrible word. It's K-I-D-S. I don't even like to say it. I've been saying it ever since I was born. I mean, it permeates entire society. You hear it on television, you hear it everywhere. We use this word kids. Yuck. Hate this word. However, is this a word that God has chosen to call our children? Do you think the world would follow what God says? Just because, you know, do they do that on anything else? So why would they do it on calling our children? And so we're all sucked into this. All of you are sucked into it. I was sucked into it for many years. We don't see it anywhere in the Bible in relation to children. In fact, if you check the 1928, how many of you have been around since then? Webster's Dictionary, you will not find this word for children. It's not even there. K-I-D-S is a modern word that has been added in later years. So even back then, they didn't say it. So it's terrible. I have to confess that I used that word forever. For a long time, my whole life. And we all do it. Every one of you does it. I did not like this word. I never felt that it was right. I always, even before I was saved, I just didn't like the word. But I succumbed to the trend around me. How many of you go 60 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone because everyone else is doing it? You say, well, I don't want to be the slow guy. Oh, how easy it is to do things just because everyone else is doing them. Yes, without thinking whether it's actually the best thing to do. Well, I read once that, and I'm from New York City, so I don't get to see too many farmers, but farmers who raise goats as well as sheep notice interesting comparisons between the two. The ewes remain close to the lambs. You know I'm going to say it later. Watching them while they feed. The goats would herd their young together in one spot on a knoll of a hill and leave them while they go off to forage for the day. They just bunch their children up like in a daycare center. And they go off foraging, you know? How many of you do that? Yeah. They do not provide the same individual attention which the sheep give to their offspring. Inspiration clicked in my mind as I read this, but before I accepted it, I felt I should check it out if it was really true. So I asked a farmer. I used to work with a guy who was a farmer, and he knows all about these things. And he said, yes, he said, sheep will never go further than earshot from their little lambs. Never go further than earshot from their little lambs. So I was very challenged. Has kids become the accepted word for children today because we have become a generation of goat mothers? Are you a goat mother instead of staying close to your lambs? Thousands of mothers are dropping them off at nurseries and daycare centers all around and going off to fulfill their own careers. They're foraging on their own. This is called goat mothering. No wonder we call our children kids. Do you know that kids are baby goats? They're not sheep. In the face of danger, a nanny goat would leave her little kids unprotected and run from danger just to save herself. Isn't that a nice mom? Would you like a mom like that? And yet the sheep is a very docile animal, and it protects its young. Goats are cowards and would give up easily. When they catch the goats live and turn them over onto their backs, the goats do not struggle. A farmer's wife said, over many years, we have raised lambs on our land, and indeed the sheep are wonderful mothers. This year, for the first time, we had goats and baby kids. One Sunday, as we drove into the front gate, we heard a loud bleating and stopped in to check. And there on the top of the hill were two young twin kids, brown and white, with no mother anywhere at all. My 8-year-old son was very worried and kept going back to check. After 2 hours, they were cold and getting weaker, so we heated bricks, wrapped in newspaper, and went to warm them and prepare to feed these orphans. When we arrived, there to our amazement was the mother, who was not dead but had simply gone off to feed. She must have continued this neglect because not long after, the little white kid was taken by a fox. I'm sure we don't want to be classified as being one of those goat mothers, do we? You don't want to be one of them. This is certainly not the kind of character we want to speak into our children either, is it? Do we really want them to be like kids? We bless our children here every week. We put the blessing on them. How many other people do that? Not very many. People come here and they cry when they see that. They say, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. We do it every week. Our children are different, are special. We don't want to treat them like kids, do we? Goats, by nature, are independent. They're proud. They're rebellious and destructive and cowardly in the face of danger. God always likens his people to sheep. How many times do you hear him call us goats in the Bible? Never. And that's bad. God always likens his people to sheep who by nature are meek and submissive. Psalm 79:13, here's where your handouts kick in. So we, thy people of thy pasture, will give thanks forever. We'll give thee thanks forever. Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, that thou leadest Joseph like a flock. And Psalm 95, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way. And John 10, he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Even Messiah himself is likened to a sheep because of his submission to his Father's will. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So God does separate the sheep from the goats. The people whom God calls goats are those he separates from his company. Zechariah 10:3, he mentions them. I punish the goats, for the Lord of hosts has visited his flock. When God visits his flock, he will separate the sheep from the goats, and guess what he will do? He will punish the goats. The goats and the sheep are in the flock together. I mean, there may be some here today. Who knows? But only one belongs to him, and those are called sheep. If you belong to God, you are a sheep. We noticed this when we visited Israel. I went to my first trip to Israel. We went to the Ellis Farm, which was a Messianic farm. These Messianic Jews were raising sheep and goats together, and they were selling cheese to the hotels and stuff. It was very hard for them to get contracts because they were Messianic, but God has been blessing them. They had flocks of sheep and goats together. They both look alike. They all look the same to me. And from a distance, you can't tell the difference, especially after the goats shave. You know, get their beards off. Never mind. In the church today, the goats and sheep are all in one flock together. But there will come a day when God will visit his flock, and he will separate the one from the other, just like the wheat from the tares, right? Ezekiel 34:17, now then, my flock, I, the sovereign Lord, tell you that I will judge each of you and separate the good from the bad, the sheep from the goats. And Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come into his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Isn't that exciting? Yes, give me a minute. Wow. After realizing all this, I decided that I didn't want to be part of the goat company. I didn't want to be a goat, so I shaved my beard. I didn't want to impose the goat character on my children. Our children should be different from the children of the world. Anyway, I therefore am making an effort to stop using the word kids. I've been doing this for years now, so I've been very successful in breaking a habit. And breaking a habit, believe me, is the hardest thing to do. I don't care if you ever smoked cigarettes. You know what it's like to quit doing what you're doing. If you overate all the time. Some things are really hard to do, so there's ways of doing it that can help you. And now whenever I hear that word K-I-D-S, it grates upon me. It hurts me. It's like when I go into a room where there's people smoking. I used to smoke, so the cigarette smoke really bothers me more than it bothers non-smokers. But when I hear the word kids, ooh, I go, rah, I hate that word. Don't speak to me like that. It's like there's something wrong with you. You know, you shouldn't be using that word. That's the negative. What about the positive? If kids is not the kingdom word for our children, what can we call them? Hey, you. How about using the word children? One more syllable. The most common word of children in the Bible is Ben, which literally means the builder of the family name. I'm Natan Ben Ariel. That's my name. Every Hebrew name has a Ben. You always hear me when I call people up to the Torah, say Ben or Bat for a girl, right? That's a name worth using, isn't it? Hey, Ben. But then all the children will answer to Ben. They'll, Ben who? I guess we can't use that word too much. So our children need to understand that they are building the family name, though. So, Scott Ben, or Garrett Ben Scott. That's a good name, isn't it? It's the first child that came to my mind. I didn't mean to use you. This will encourage them to take pride and responsibility in their family. They are part of the team, along with their parents, to build the character and integrity of their family name. How about Yeled, which is the Hebrew word, Yeled, Y-E-L-E-D, Yeled. Or you can just call them lambs. Why don't you just call them lambs? Is it harder to say lambs than kids? No. Apart from children, sons and daughters, offspring, lads and lasses, which are all biblical names, we find many expressions of God's heart for children. These are wonderful expressions you could use when speaking about your children. Let's discover them together. So let's read Genesis 33, verse 5. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." And 48:9, Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom God has given me here." So he said, "Bring them to me, please, so that I may bless them." Joshua 24:3, "Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him throughout the whole land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac." And then there's Ruth 4:13, part B actually, "And the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son." 1 Chronicles 25, verses 4 through 6. "Of Heman, the sons of Heman, and I'm not going to read all these names, blah, blah, blah. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, to exalt him according to the words of God, for God gave 14 sons and 3 daughters to Heman. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the direction of the king." And then finally in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, "Behold, children are a gift to the Lord, of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Wow. Our children are gifts from the hand of the Lord. They are given to us by God. We can call them our gifts, our natans. See, I got to use my name. What we call our children has an amazing impact upon their attitude and their behavior. I had a wonderful revelation recently from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And so I looked up the word ordained in my concordance. And I was amazed to notice that the Hebrew word is Natan, which is Nathan, my name. A primary root word meaning to give. God planned Jeremiah's future before he was even conceived. "When I formed thee in the womb, I knew you." And God gave him as a gift to the nations, a natan, a gift. Every child has a gift to the world. Isn't that exciting? Our children are not only gifts from God to us, but also gift to others. I get blessed all the time by our children. Your children bless me. So they are a gift to me. See your children to grow. See, some of them, I've carried them through bar mitzvahs and all, and it's just been an exciting journey. And if, watched them all grow, and it's been exciting. What a blessing to see them grow up. Some of them have grown up in this congregation. They started coming as little children, and now they're banging on drums and doing all kinds of things for us, dancing, you know, everything. Such a blessing. Every child has a gift to the world. Isn't that exciting? Our children are not only a gift from God to us, but they are a gift to others. Each child God has given you is a gift from God to the world. Who knows which one will be another David or Paul or Einstein or Billy Graham? Do you know what we're raising here? You don't know. Or anointed and faithful builders or teachers or store managers or whatever. And of course, godly mothers and fathers, they will become. Praise God, the world will never be the same because of these gifts that you have brought into the world and will bring into the world. What blessings of joy you bring when you come here. There was a woman with three difficult little children. She often referred to them as her brats. Yuck. How many times do you hear that? One day, or rugrats. Or ankle biters. One day, God convicted her that these children were blessings from God, and she should acknowledge them as such. She began to call them her blessings. Not baruchs, but ashrates. Right, Clark? As she changed her vocabulary, guess what? Her attitude towards her children changed. What you say reflects what you do. You know, it's hard to yell at people when you're smiling at them. Oh, clean up your room! You can't do that. Clean up your room is much easier to say. Instead of being brats, they became the blessings she called them. These children are now fully grown today and are continuing to bring much blessing to their parents. Psalm 127, verse 3, the heritage of the Lord. It's in your notes there. Look it up. Beautiful names God calls our children, not just the fruit of the womb, but the beloved fruit of the womb. The context of this passage from Hosea 9:16 is that God was going to destroy the beloved fruit of their womb because of their continual disobedience. However, it shows how God views children and also how the early Hebrews, our ancestors, felt about their children. Here are some other translations and what they say for beloved fruit of the womb. The NIV says cherished offspring. The RSV says beloved children. The NAS, the New American Standard, precious ones. The New English Bible, dearest offsprings. The TJB, darlings. And the NAS, again, treasures of the womb. We really feel special when we have been rewarded, don't we? Imagine how special your children will feel when you call them your rewards. You are my reward. You're not my brat. You're my reward. Okay. Psalm 127, verse 4, talks of them as being arrows. Our task as parents is to polish, sharpen, and prepare arrows to be ready to be sent forth from the bow to hit the mark God has planned for our lives. So we are, as parents, arrow polishers. It gives our children a sense of destiny to know that they are arrows, that they are being sharpened and prepared for God's army. This is a great name to call your children. Call them arrows. Here are some of the kinds of arrows God wants you to prepare for His purpose. Psalm 21:12, ready. Isaiah 49:2, polished. Numbers 24:8, piercing. 2 Samuel 22:15 and Psalm 18:14, scattering. Psalm 38:2, sticking fast. Psalm 45:5 and 120 verse 4, sharp arrows. Jeremiah 51:11, bright arrows. Habakkuk 3:11, light-giving. Psalm 77:17, going abroad. Psalm 144:6, destroying. Jeremiah 50, verse 9, hitting the mark. Psalm 12:14 and 144:6, Barak, lightning, Barak. He's the presidential candidate. His name means lightning in Hebrew. And so does Barak, Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel. Shooting, Psalm 64:7, and 2 Kings 13:14-19, victory. You know, our God also calls our children, according to Psalm 128:3, olive plants. Olive plants. Olive trees were a symbol of blessing to Israelites. When they saw the new olive shoots coming up around their olive trees, they knew that they were blessed. It says so in Deuteronomy 6, verse 11 and 8:8. Olive trees have to be cultivated, or they will deteriorate and grow wild. You can't just plant an olive tree and ignore it. So our children have to be cultivated and trained if they are going to grow up in wisdom and in stature. Olive trees are a symbol of beauty, according to Hosea 14:6. The Hebrew word hod, used for beauty, although sometimes used for men, is mainly associated with God. It means splendor, majesty, glory, and honor. This time, it is used of an olive tree. God wants our children to grow up beautiful like the olive tree, revealing to the world the glory and splendor of God. Olive trees have a purpose. They were not just ornaments. Our children also have a purpose. They're not just ornaments. Before the foundation of the world, God chose them and prepared their destiny. It is our role as parents to help them find that destiny and prepare them to walk in it. In the Bible days, the olive tree was used for building. The two cherubims within the oracle and the doors into the oracle were made of olive wood, according to 1 Kings chapter 6. The purpose of our olive plants is to help build the kingdom of God. Olive trees were used for light. The oil from the olive tree was used for lighting the lamps in the tabernacle. Exodus, a whole bunch of verses, Exodus 27, 20, 21, Leviticus 24. Let us pray that our olive shoots, our shoots, will grow up to be lights in the midst of darkness of this world. We sure need a whole bunch of lights in this world, don't we? There are many who are afraid to have children. People won't have children because they fear to bring them into this evil world. But this is the very purpose God wants us to bring forth the godly seed, to be lights in the midst of darkness. If we hold back the godly seed, evil will increase. We need more godly seed to offset the evil that's coming. Olive trees give us holy anointing oil, according to Exodus 30. Let us pray that that our olive plants will grow up to be anointed of God to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, according to Isaiah 61:11. And olive trees provide food. The Israelites could hardly survive for food without the olive tree. Even in our countries, what could we do without olives, olive oil, and all the things that are made from them? Do you know what comes from olives? Lots of stuff. May our children feed many who are broken and starving and need God, according to Proverbs 10:21. Olive trees live forever. Well, just about. There is a saying in Israel that our olive trees never die. When I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and many of you have been there, you've seen at the base of the Mount of Olives, and you look up at the Golden Gate of the city of Jerusalem. This is the gate that the Bible says our Messiah will walk through when he comes back. And you can see it from the garden. And in this garden, there are a number of very old, gnarled olive trees. They are there 2,000 to 3,000 years. There's one tree that's just huge, and it keeps growing new bark. And it's just the widest thing you've ever seen. And then there's some in the back that are very, he said they were baby trees because they're only 400 years old. Yeah. They are still there, and they're still growing. They're still alive. Our children are also eternal souls who will live forever. Do you know that we are all eternal beings? We're going to live forever? Well, guess what? Our children are going to be that way too. Our children are also eternal souls who will live forever. Mothering is an eternal career. It is not a waste of time. It lasts until the eons of eternity. Psalm 144:12 looks at vigorous growing plants and polished cornerstones. What a powerful description for our daughters. The cornerstone is the most important stone in the building. Did you know that? It is the pivot, the foundation, and plumb line from which everything else is measured. We must raise up our daughters to be mothers and homemakers. For motherhood is the foundation of society. God even honors being a mother, and a woman is exempt from prayer because being a mother is more important to God than praying to Him. And so women, men have to pray to God every day. But women can if they want to, but they're exempt. That's how much God puts in what He thinks of motherhood. It is the greatest career that you'll ever embark upon. Many daughters today are prepared for other careers instead of motherhood. This brings great confusion. When they get married, they face a dilemma. What do I do with this career for which I've been trained? They think it's more important than motherhood, and therefore they don't fully embrace their mothering role. This causes dysfunction in our society. We have lots of that. They think it's more important than motherhood, and therefore don't fully embrace their mothering role. That's the most important duty of a woman. Because of this, they never really enjoy it. They have no understanding of their higher calling that God has brought them to. Motherhood is a dignified role. It is not to be degraded. We should raise our daughters to be who they are, daughters of the King of Kings, with beauty, regality, and splendor. Other translations of this scripture, the New American says, fashioned as for a palace, the TLB of graceful beauty like the pillars of a palace wall, and the NIV carved to adorn a palace. Isaiah 8:18 says, our children are signs and wonders. How exciting that our children are signs and wonders for God. In Isaiah 40:11, lambs. As we change our vocabulary and call these little ones lambs instead of KIDS, we will notice a new attitude towards our children. We will experience a fresh tenderness and caring for our offspring. We will become more like the good shepherd who does not leave his young but carries them in his bosom. And how important is it for our children to realize that they are not a nuisance to our pursuits in life? They should be reminded that they are the work of God's hands, Isaiah 29, and it is our highest privilege in life to teach and train them on God's behalf. And the greatest way we can please our Father God is to bring forth and nurture a godly seed, according to Malachi 2:15. This is what God looks for, and He looks for godly parents to produce their godly seed. The Hebrew word that is used for the godly seed is Elohim. Elohim, which is one of the names of God. Isn't that amazing? It's a plural name. God wants our children to come forth who are like Him. God wants children who will show who He is to the world. God wants children who are pure and are righteous. God wants children who allow Him to transform them into His image. Hosea 9:11, children are the glory of a nation. Proverbs 17:6, this is a special name for grandchildren. They are called crowns. I have one crown. What an awesome blessing. Ruth 4:15, restorer of life and nourisher of old age. Of course, there are many other special names you can call your children apart from these biblical ones. Each family will have their own pet names for their children. But let's keep to the positive ones, okay? Will you take this challenge with me? I want to give you a little help in that. What I did was to break myself of this habit, and I still do it, believe me. Although I switch from me saying the K word, which I don't say hardly anymore, but sometimes it slips out still. But even when I hear other people doing it or reading about it, if I read the word in a book or I hear it on TV from a news reporter. They use it all the time, believe me. And if I hear it from other people, even people in our congregation, I take a quarter of my money, 25 cents, and there's a little box in the back we call the pack-to-school box. We put the money in there, and for every $25 we put in there, we get to buy a school pack for children in Israel, Jewish and Arab children. Last year, Barry and Batya Siegel were able to raise enough money to buy 24,000 school packs at $25 each. And so every time I hear that word, and I might hear it four or five times a week, I'll put $1, $1.25 in there, you know? And so that helped me break my habit. I don't say it anymore because it's really costing me a lot of money. And I try not to listen to other people or watch news reports anymore because it's costing me a lot of money. But believe me, I still faithfully put money in there, and some people do that have been here for a while. But I challenge you all to break that habit, okay? I know it's a struggle. I know it's a fight to do something that you've been accustomed to all your life, but take control of your mind and your senses and try to fight off this thing. Let's call our children what they're supposed to be called. Let's eliminate that word that belongs to goats. Nanny, nanny, noo, noo. Thank you very much.